Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the middle of a series on stewardship, how God can be first with our tangible and intangible resources. Our topic today is an important one, God or money. Can we have two masters? How do we ensure that we don't serve money rather than serving God? I'm glad you joined us, and I know you'll be blessed. And welcome to our team. It's been a great series, hasn't it?
Amen.
And I'm excited today because one of our team members, Kyle, is going to be teaching the study. Kyle, I know it's going to be a great blessing, but before you begin our study, we'd like to share some emails from some of our viewers around the world. I know I appreciate when you write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We share it with the entire team, and it's an encouragement to us. So thanks for writing. Here's one from Rochelle. Or I should say Rachel, in California. Anyone from California here? Anyone been to California? Yeah. All right. Half of us have been to California. I'm enjoying Hope Sabbath School, Rachel writes. I listen every Friday night. I enjoy the interaction with the team during the study. I am the Sabbath School superintendent. I guess that means the person over the Bible studies for my church, Maranatha Church, in San Diego. I've mentioned Hope Sabbath School during our Sabbath School time. God bless you all. Well, greetings to the Maranatha Church there in San Diego. We're glad that you're studying the Word of God. And Rachel, thanks for writing to us. MM, unusual name, MM, writes all the way from Nigeria and says, I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for some months now. It's really blessed my life spiritually.
Amen. Amen.
That's our prayer, isn't it? This is not entertainment. You make the lesson come alive and easy to follow. Hope Sabbath School team has made me a better teacher.
Amen. Amen.
So I just got to share, in case you don't know, the same outline that we use for the study, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. You can download this outline and you can use it to teach an in-depth interactive Bible study. In fact, we have tens of thousands of teachers around the world that do that. And it's free. It's a resource. Do your study. Take that roadmap, if you will, so that you can get people involved in a study of the Word of God. MM's doing that in Nigeria. We're glad. Thank you for sharing. May God continue to bless your ministry as you share His gospel. Amen. Amen. Here's one from Thembi in South Africa. Thembi, thanks for writing to us. I'm excited to be part of Hope Sabbath School, which I discovered when I was in primary school.
Wow.
So, you know, you may think we're Hope Sabbath School and they're all the viewers. No, we're all part of the Hope Sabbath School family. We know we've got about 150 countries represented. And Thembi, we're glad. Since primary school, I'm currently in university.
Wow.
And I'm still watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
That's great. The Word of God truly is a light to our path. I'm glad that I get to experience this light with all of you.
Amen.
Keep on sharing the good news and may God bless you all. Well, you've learned something important, Thembi. We've talked about this in a previous study. Sometimes we go to changes in life where we feel like we don't have time for God. We had one viewer write to us in a previous study said things were going wrong and I realized God needed to be first. So we're glad you're keeping God first while you're there at university. Here's a note from a donor here in the United States. And I just want to say thank you to those of you that support the ministry of Hope Channel, specifically Hope Sabbath School. We're a donor-based ministry. So if God impresses you, thanks for doing that. Here's a note. I don't know what I would do without Hope Sabbath School. The team is great. I've been watching now for almost 5 years. I have learned so much, and now I read my Bible all the time.
Amen.
Learning so much every day. May God bless you all. Well, thanks for writing. I don't know your name, but God knows you, and thank you for your generous support as well. One last note from Jackie in Australia. She says, I've written before, and by the way, you can write. You know, I just have to write one time. Let us know how God's blessing you. She writes, and she says, our Lord and Savior Jesus is awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
That's kind of an Australian expression, but I think we use it here too. He's wonderful. He's amazing.
Amen.
Words cannot express how blessed I am. by your daily commitment to share the Word of God with so many around the world. Thank you very much for your kind and compassionate love toward God's Word. I'm humbled as I read this. Isn't God good?
Amen.
It's not about us, but God's blessing. Australia is about as far as you can get from here, and yet someone's part of the Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for 4 years now, and I still can't get enough. Every day, I get so excited when it's time for me to interact with you. Notice this is not one way. Interact together. I'm truly blessed studying the Word of God. Every day you're in my house. May the Lord God continue to be blessed and bless each one of you. Thank you also for your testimonies. We're going to share some testimonies today. I am blessed by hearing them. And I love the scripture songs. Well, stay with us, Jackie. We're going to sing from Psalm 9, 1 and 2 in just a few seconds. Thank you for writing the songs. Well, that's not me, you know. That's my wife, Bodil. And they are a blessing to sing and to memorize. I actually love the song for this series. It's 3,000 years old, but it's so full of life. You know, when you put God first, you just want to praise Him, don't you? Mm-hmm. And this psalm says, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. You can download the MP3 file and the sheet music from our website. Let's sing it together now.
I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High.
You know, that's a good song to remember even when you're facing difficulty. I'm going to fix my eyes on You, God. And that's what this study is all about. God or money, where do we fix our attention? So, Kyle, why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin our study? I know we'll be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. All right. I'm excited about today's lesson. And before we open the Word of God, we should bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us in our study. Father in heaven, thank You so much for the privilege of being here together for Hope Sabbath School. And Lord, we pray that You would be with us just now as we open Your Word. Help us to have a deeper understanding of Your will for our lives. And help us, Lord, to grow closer to You through this study is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but this series of studies has been very exciting and very practical because we're learning about something that all of us deal with on a day-to-day basis. The things we own, God's place in our lives, where does that fit in all the things that we're dealing with and the things that we own? And so today the question is, the title of the study is God or Mammon? And we're going to begin our study in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and read this text, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, but we'll start. Laurel, if you could start our study today by reading Matthew 6:24.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
All right. So this verse is saying that we cannot serve two masters, right? Now, just a question, just as we look at this verse, there's a word here that's a little bit unusual. We don't always see it, but it's the word mammon. What does that word mean? Jason?
Well, in the New King James Version, it says mammon. In the New American Standard Bible, which Laurel read, it actually translated it as wealth. So meaning possessions, both say you could say the tangible things that you use, whether it's money or it's, you know, your physical things. For us, it could be like our cars or our houses.
So it can be translated differently in the different versions, but it basically means wealth, material possessions, things we own, right? And it's saying that we can't serve God and those things that we own, right? Hmm. Now, why is it that someone would try to serve God or mammon or wealth? Why is it that someone would try to serve both? Austin.
I think that sometimes what could happen is that someone would want the things of this world, and yet at the same time, they, in a sense, want heaven and want God. But the problem is you can't really have both.
So you can't have both. Andre.
Well, I believe that we can have both, but they have to be in the proper order.
Okay.
And I think that's what the scripture is challenging us to understand, that, you know, if you, I think the key word is serve.
Ah, that's the key.
Okay.
That's the key
yeah.
word.
You can't serve both.
You can't serve both, mm-hmm. but you can have both.
So just a question on that. Why can't you serve both? I'm just digging a little deeper here.
Well, I think it's interesting, Carl, that Jesus says you cannot. He doesn't say you must not. Mm. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Something will be first place that you serve. And you have to identify. And I think what Andre is saying, if God's first, he can bless you with wealth,
absolutely.
Which you can use for his honor.
Right.
So it's not saying all who put me first will be impoverished.
Right.
But you can't have both as your master.
I was thinking about it. It's almost like when you're looking at something, like Alex, if I'm looking at you, I can't look at Jason or Stefan. I have to look at you. You know, it's a focus. Mm-hmm. So I can't look at two things at the same time. I can only look at one thing at a time. And it's like God is saying, you've got to look at me first, and then you'll understand how other things fall into place. So Jesus says, you can't serve God and material possessions. We understand that we need to serve God first. And that puts everything else in perspective. Now, thinking about this, the material world, is the material world bad?
No. It's a gift
what do you
of
think?
God.
It's a gift of God, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, we're told in the scriptures that God himself created. We know God created the world that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. So just to give us some perspective, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where everything started, and let's look at what the Bible says about God's creation, because actually the Bible tells us that it was good. So, Jason, if you could read for us Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1 and then verses 26 to 31 to look at the context of God's creation and how it is good.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, and then also verses 26 through 31. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then moving over to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Wow. could you imagine being there on that sixth day of creation when God created man and woman and he created the world? I mean, Mm-hmm. It was a good creation, right? Yeah. Our God is a good God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And all the things he created were so good. So we know that this world, the things in it, I mean, the things created by God, are in and of themselves not bad, right? Mm-hmm. Jason, you have a comment?
Another thing I liked, it talked about how all these things are for food for you and everything. So some things God made were to be shared or were to be utilized. We talked about previous lessons, stewardship. I guess this whole thing is on stewardship. And so God is making these things to be utilized in the right context. So even here you have some type of, if you want to call food material wealth in a way, it can be utilized for your own benefit and for others.
And for the blessing of others. Mm-hmm. Andre.
I was thinking as he was reading that, how when God creates things, it's not only when it's complete is beautiful. I can imagine in the process that there's this beauty. But when we as man put the things together, we really put a facade on it. Mm-hmm. You know, the most luxurious car, you take off a few of the things that create the illusion. It looks horrendous. And we're currently renovating the lobby at our church. And so we had to tear everything out. And it revealed a whole lot of mess. And then we're putting back in the new facade, and we can't wait. Uh-huh. So it just lets you know that the Bible tells us eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, the things that God's preparing for us. And I can just imagine, I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. But whatever God does, he does it right.
I'm just glad God is the creator.
Amen.
Because whenever I try to build something, it doesn't turn out too well. It doesn't work, for that matter. But it's so amazing when we see the beauty of God's creation. That's one reason why it's good to go outside and just look at what God has given us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God tells us in Genesis that he created this world and the things that are in it, the good things that are in it. And he also gave us a special gift, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He gave us a very special gift that we still have with us to this day that reminds us every week that God is in fact the creator. Mm-hmm. Alex, can you tell us what that special gift is? It's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made.
Amen. Beautiful verses. The Sabbath, a gift of God that really helps us remember every week that he is the creator.
You know, I was thinking, Kyle, I don't think you use the word Sabbath here, but you get that word because when he reminds them in the Ten Blessings or Ten Commandments, as some call them, he says, remember the Sabbath, he calls it there, the rest day, to keep it holy. 6 days I created, and then he refers back to this passage. Mm. So that's where we get the word Sabbath, from the seventh day. But I like the fact that that is a day to keep everything else in perspective.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So we don't start living for things, but remember that we're created to live for God.
Amen. So question, Derek said, keeping things in perspective, how does the Sabbath, and maybe you could share a testimony of how this for you works, but how does the Sabbath help keep things in perspective for you? Gladys.
I'm a teacher, and I always struggle when Friday night comes to just put away the planning for my kids, because it's like a 24-360-day thing for me. It's that way of life. So Sabbath, I try to I don't open emails, I don't check text messages or anything that the parents say. I just take all notifications out because I want to make sure that those hours are sacred. Amen. It's between me and God.
Beautiful. Andre.
You know, recently I mentioned the fact that we have three brains. We have the cephalic, the enteric, and the cardiac brain.
You've already lost me, Andre. I believe you.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're in our mother's womb, I believe it's the spinal cord that really starts developing first, the digestive area and all that. And so all these areas have neurons and cells that operate like the brain. So they think and all this. Wow. So the Sabbath keeps things in perspective because during the whole week when we're working, we our bodies and minds are taxed. Mm. And so we can end up out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And these three things that think, like the gut and the heart, the cardiac and enteric brain, the vagus nerve has 80% of the nerves travel upwards. So they have a lot of influence over what happens here. and can override this if they're overtaxed. Mm-hmm. So on the Sabbath, we get a chance to rest. We get a chance to get back into realignment mm-hmm. and be able to face the challenge, the spiritual challenges and physical challenges of the week to come. But if we don't do that, then we start losing perspective because we need to be in that kind of alignment.
Mm-hmm. So, question for you: how does keeping the Sabbath, which by the way, you know, some people may be hearing about the Sabbath for the first time, sure. and we would invite you to experience the joy of keeping the Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday night sundown, just like it says here in the book of Genesis. And it's such a blessing to have that day of rest. Mm-hmm. How does the Sabbath and how does understanding God as the Creator help us relate to the material possessions that we've been given? Let's bring it back to that question of God or mammon. How does keeping the Sabbath, understanding God as our Creator, help us relate to those material things? Gladys?
Sometimes, you know, we think that Sabbath is just a day of rest. When you grow up in the church, that's it. That's what you believe. But when you don't come from the church, Sabbath means a day of work. It means a lot of revenue. If you have a restaurant, if you're a taxi driver. So putting that day aside is a sign of faith, mm-hmm. of trust that God will provide. Mm-hmm. You saying to God, I believe in you, mm-hmm. and I will put this day apart just to worship you and commune with you, and you will provide for me. Amen. So that is a sign of faith.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Beautiful, powerful.
You know, Kyle, one other thing we've talked about in this series is it provides a time to say, Lord, you've blessed me in so many ways, both with tangible and intangible resources. How do you want me to use them?
Yeah.
Amen.
It gives us kind of a time out of the intensity of the week, yeah. not just to rest or even to say, God, you're awesome, but God, these resources you've given to me,
yes.
I don't want to serve them. I serve you. How do you want me to use these?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I think the Sabbath is a wonderful time to reflect on those things too.
Amen. It's beautiful. The Sabbath is beautiful. And I think for me, I just love the fact that God has given me 24 hours every week to think about Him yes. and to mm-hmm. put things back in perspective. I'd really invite you to experience the joy of keeping the Sabbath. But you know, our next section is counsel from Jesus about material possessions. And you might wonder, well, why do we need to look at the counsel from Jesus about material possessions? Especially, we were just talking about how God created the world. Well, you know, it's very interesting because if we look at the Gospel of John, we actually see that Jesus was right there at the creation of our world. He is the one that created all the things that we have, right? And so it's good to look to Him as our Creator, our Redeemer, for His wisdom on how we should relate to the material things.
So, you know, I just challenge that just a little bit. Jesus was not there at the creation because He was born
right.
2,000 years ago. But the Bible will tell us that the Word,
yes.
who was in the beginning with God and was God, the Son of God, came into humanity, Amen. Born of a virgin, named Jesus of Nazareth. So He comes with a history.
Yes.
You know, when we're born, we don't have any history. We just start. But He was incarnated. That's the crucial point. So when He speaks to us about how we should live or how we should love God with all our heart, He's speaking as our Creator.
As our Amen. Creator.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's look at that in John chapter 1. Stephanie, could you read for us John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 and 14? And we'll read about how Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. These are such powerful verses. I wish we could just dig into them. Mm-hmm. But and Stephanie, just if I could ask you, just going back to what Derek said, the beauty here is that Jesus became one of us,
yes.
right? So what is it about Jesus, as we look at these verses, why can we look to Him to guide us to how to know how to relate to the world around us in our material possessions?
Well, I think He left all of heaven to come down here. And what we think is is gold and silver and that we value that. I mean, compared to heaven, what is it? I don't know. Pavement?
Wow.
You know, because that's what it will be when we go to heaven. But, you know, we have a different perspective of how we value things. Mm-hmm. And yet he left everything and he came here for
us. Powerful thought. Yeah. Christ left the majesty of heaven to come and dwell among us. Hmm. Andre.
I mean, it says it there is that he created all things, mm-hmm. and nothing was, so he knows intricately and intimately everything mm-hmm. about us. Mm-hmm. So when the Bible says that he'll give us the desires of our hearts,
yes.
We have to really think about that. Is it that I know what I actually want, or he knows what
right.
is
yeah.
the real desire of my heart? And then when he gives that, when he grants that to me, I experience that. It's something that I didn't even expect. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. God knows what's best.
Yeah.
How many times have we been in that situation where we thought we knew what was best? Mm-hmm. Then we see, as we look back, God really knew what was best for us.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about wealth. And I've been around wealthy people that admit that after I got a certain material possession that I was striving for, within a week or 2 weeks, it began to fade and not have meaning. And so the things that we desire tend to not pan out to be what we really thought it was going to be.
Thanks for sharing. Now, you know, Jesus gives us a lot of counsel about wealth, actually. Mm-hmm. And in fact, how to deal with money and those is one of the most common topics in the New Testament. Mm. So it must be important for God and for Jesus for us to know how to relate to wealth. And there's a story in Luke chapter 12. And Michael, I'm going to ask you to read this for us, if you will. A very interesting story that talks about a rich man and his possessions. Could you read that for us, Michael, in Luke chapter 12?
Okay, reading from the New King James Version, Luke 12, 15 to 21. And he said to them, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God."
So here we have a story of a man who thinks he's got this abundance of crops, so much that he has to build bigger barns and bigger storage facilities just to hold it. And he thinks he's got it made. He said, "Man, I am good. I am set for the rest of my life." But little did he realize. And of course, Jesus is trying to teach this point that, you know, he doesn't control his life.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know. He's not guaranteed tomorrow. What, as you look at this story, what warning signs do you see in this story that the rich man here is living for his riches? You know, our lesson is God or mammon, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That the rich man is living for his riches rather than for God. Nicole.
Well, if you look at verse 19, it's clear that he says, "I say to myself." He's not saying, "Lord, what should I do with what you've given me?" He's saying to myself, "You have plenty of grain." So he's talking to himself. It's a very selfish type of relationship. And so you can see that he's not really living for what Christ wants for his possessions, but what he wants for his possessions, what he's going to do with them.
Very, very good point. So he's living for himself. Andre?
Yeah. You know, there's a Nigerian proverb that says, "Some men draw circles around themselves. Other men draw circles around their families. And then there are others that draw circles around their kinsmen and their tribe. But a wise man draws his circle around the circumference of the whole earth because he recognizes that he has a responsibility to all." And great observation that Nicole made, that he said, "I say to myself." We realize his circle is literally drawn around himself. He cares about no one else.
And by the way, interesting to note that in a previous study, we looked at the parable of the sower. And we know that when a farmer puts seed in the ground, I mean, he's putting the seed in the ground, but who's causing that seed to grow?
Right.
God is, right? Mm-hmm. But this man isn't recognizing the power of God and the fact that he's gotten all this wealth, he's thinking he did it. Oh, look at all this. You know, it's like, who was that? Nebuchadnezzar said, look at this great Babylon that I have built. Wait a minute, not so fast. God is the one who gave you the power, right? Amen. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that the Lord is the one who gives us the power to get wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he thinks it's all him, but really it's God. Laurel, you had a comment?
Yes. Something stood out to me in verse 19 where he says, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come." And when I read that, I can't help but think, you could die at any moment. Like, we could drive home today and get into a car accident and that be it.
Wow.
I pray that's not the case for any of us. But if something happens suddenly, we need to remember, who do we serve? And if we serve money and wealth, that's it. That's the end.
Great point.
You know, I was thinking, there's nothing wrong in building a bigger barn if God told you to do it.
Okay.
Isn't there a story where God told Joseph to store up for 7 years?
Yeah.
So if God had, if this man who had this amazing harvest said, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my resources?" And the Lord said, "Build a bigger barn.
Yeah.
There's going to be a famine 5 years from now. You need to store this up." Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the barn.
Right.
The problem is why he built it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He built it because I don't even need God.
That's right.
I just need a bigger barn. So I think we need to look beyond the size of his barn. Mm-hmm. And I liked what Nicole said. He's talking to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he was talking to God, God might have said, "You don't need a bigger barn. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give away what won't fit in the barn? And if you pray to me, I'll show you who to give it to."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a totally different way of living.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Stephanie.
You know, Kyle, as I look at this, I think it's really a matter of who do I trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do I trust God, or do I trust my material, my tangible or intangible possessions? Mm-hmm. Who do I trust? Who do I place my trust in?
And I think that's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. Are we really trusting in God with our material wealth, with our futures? As we leave this story, before I leave it, one other question. God ends this, or Jesus ends this parable with a very strong word. He says, fool.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, why does God call this rich man a fool? Does anybody...
And by the way, Jesus says, don't you call anybody a fool.
Right.
Because we don't know the heart, we don't want to judge, but God somehow knows that he's acting very foolishly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So just so we don't go and say, "I'm going to do the same thing, fool.
Right.
God says, don't you do that.
But, right.
But he does it.
Yeah.
The question is he mad at him, or does he love him so much he's trying to get his attention because life is short.
Amen. And that goes back to Laurel's comment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Alex?
Yeah, just to add on to that, I mean, you know, he's doing all the stuff for himself. He doesn't know the future. He doesn't know what God has planned for him, or, you know, he didn't know that God was planning on taking his life on that day. So all that he's done for himself, and, you know, I found myself doing things like this as well, all that he's done for himself is for naught, and it's going to go to waste. So, you know, if he had put his faith in God, if he had looked at him, then he could have used it and been a blessing to others, and God would have blessed him in return.
Mm-hmm.
So God's seen that. Yeah, I can see the frustration, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't, you know, fool.
Absolutely. You know, the truth is, all of us have been foolish at times.
I got to respectfully challenge something that
so
Alex
good.
Just said.
Okay.
Or maybe someone else does, but I don't think God took his life.
No, he didn't.
I think God knew that he just had that one more day, and it's like, you know, there's a text that says, "Today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart." Mm-hmm. So I think there are some that may have the attitude, you need to do what's right, I'm going to kill you. I think it's the opposite. It's like, you only have a day left.
Right.
Don't trust in your stuff. And maybe I'm wrong. We'll get 1,000 emails. But I really do believe in that God loves us so much more than we even imagine.
Yeah.
And he's saying, wait. You just got some short time, Stephanie. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, God wants us to trust him for everything, including our salvation.
Amen.
And if our focus is on our possessions... Mm-hmm. That must tear his heart.
Well, Jesus, the reason he's telling this parable is to wake the people up because he wants to save them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, Jesus wants everyone to surrender their heart and all they are to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very good point that you guys are making. I saw Eric's hand.
Yeah. So I imagine this man thinks that, you know, he's making the right decision. Like, he's saving up his wealth, you know. He's bringing up all these things, and he's probably thinking, hey, this is pretty smart of me. God's coming down like, no, this. Think about the future. Like, think about after you die. Think about your eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. He might be thinking he's smart with his resources in this life, but think about being smart in, you know, the eternal salvation, thinking, let me put my faith in God.
Amen. Yep.
Thank you so much. You know, let's move on. There's another story that Jesus tells about another rich man that also sheds light on this topic. And that's in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. And I'm going to ask Austin if you would be willing to read this story for our team here. Matthew 19, the encounter with the rich young ruler.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Mm.
Mm. Heartbreaking story to read this. And there's a lot we could pull out of this story for sure. We could spend the rest of our study on this one story. But just as a question, how does this rich ruler differ from the rich man who had the barn? Can you contrast these two stories? Austin.
I think that that this kind of draws back to what you were asking in the beginning. This young ruler, he does have a desire for godly things, versus the other rich man, he wasn't thinking about God at all. Mm. So that's one difference between them both.
Sure.
Okay. Andre.
I dare go down the rabbit hole with it and say that they're very much alike. In the fact that, in the sense that they both lacked a financial or stewardship maturity model. They were both immature when it came to stewardship and understanding that. And Christ was pointing that wherever your treasure is, there's your heart. So both of them, their treasure was in the material things that they had. So they were blinded to what it really meant to serve him.
Gladys?
Well, he said that he had been keeping these commandments. But in the part where it says, love thy neighbor as thyself, I think that he was keeping the letter of the law and not the law itself, the heart of the law. Because if he would have been loving his neighbor, when Jesus said, give it to the poor, he will be gladly doing that. Because he would say, well, this is part of what I do already.
That's right. Jason, you had your hand.
So we don't know for sure, because the story of the man with the barns, it doesn't tell us all of his theology and everything, but we know with the young ruler here, basically there's only the one thing that he needs to be perfect, which is selling all. So the thing with the story with the young ruler that may be different with the guy with the barns is he's literally only one thing away from eternal life. The guy with the barns, it's possible he had other things that he might have had to deal with.
It's not the selling of his stuff that gives him eternal life. Jesus says, get rid of what's hindering your relationship with me.
Right.
And follow me. And I think Austin's right. He's close, because it says he ran. Yeah. Mark says he knelt before him. Mm-hmm. Mark, we read it in Matthew, but Mark also and Luke have this story.
Yes.
Mark says he knelt before him. And right before Jesus says one thing, Mark says he looked at him and loved him.
Wow.
So I would agree, not close to earning his salvation, but close to connecting in a life-saving relationship with Jesus. He's close.
Yes.
And we don't know about the guy with the barn, but it doesn't tell us that he even thought about God at all. Mm-hmm. He's close, but his money is still in the way, which brings us back to the question of Jesus. Can you have a master of God and money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can have money, but can you have them? Can you be serve them both? In other words, are they both your master?
That's right.
And this story says no. You can't. And he ends up walking away from someone he's very close to accepting as his Savior and Lord. Mm.
Heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And contrasting these two stories, I mean, one man is far away from God as he can possibly be. He doesn't even acknowledge God. This rich young ruler, he acknowledges God, but he doesn't fully give him his heart. Mm. And both of them end up, you know, not being where God wants them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is, have we given God our full heart?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have we given him our affections? Nicole?
Just to play on that a little bit, the rich young ruler thing talks to us as individuals who believe that we read the Bible and we're following what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. We think that we're really close. We think that we've got it all done because we do everything that we're supposed to do. But in our hearts, we're harboring things that keep us separated from Christ. And I think that this is a warning to us that says, don't believe that because you're doing, you're actually who I want you to be.
So I want to ask a question. And Stephanie, I know you have a comment burning.
You're fine.
On your heart. And you can still share, Stephanie. But I want to ask you guys a question to think about, because I think this is something that we all have wrestled with. But I'd like to ask you to share a time when a desire for wealth or things of this world, I'll put it that way, okay? Mm-hmm. Other material possessions or things other than God, when a desire for those things put you at risk spiritually. Mm-hmm. Is there a testimony someone could share about a time when you struggled with that? Gladys.
I love to take vacations. Mm-hmm. I love to travel, and since I'm a teacher, summers are the time to do such a thing. And I find myself sometimes just saying to myself, perhaps if this month I would not give so much offering, and maybe I should take this shortcut with my tithe. Mm. I will have a little bit more. And I know that in my heart I want to do the right thing. Mm. But that is a constant temptation when I want to do other things. Mm. But unless that desire is surrendered to God, that is where I know that that's where I will end up. Mm. Just making shortcuts to make ends meet or just to have something else that I want to have.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you for sharing. Powerful testimony. Stephanie?
That is powerful, because what she's saying is, I choose to trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I choose to trust him. And that's the bottom line. Who are we trusting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's powerful. That's an amazing testimony.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, guys. Andre. Yeah.
And it kind of drives us back to the juxtaposition of those two men, and seeing that one had a facade of religion or spirituality, but he was kind of looking as a checkoff list. Well, what am I missing? And when we got to the end of it, we realized that it was a lack of trust in God. He trusted, and he had a belief. He loved his material things in such a way that he couldn't understand what Christ was really asking him to do. And the other man, when Christ called him a fool, he was ignorant of the fact that his possessions are from God. That's where it originated from. He was just a steward of it. He didn't understand that, but he trusted in himself. He didn't give that over to anyone else. So that's, you know, I'm still kind of driving that similarity, that they came from different places, but the similarity came down to trust.
Ultimately, they didn't trust. One more testimony, a time when wealth or material things got in the way of your walk with God and how you overcame that.
Sounds like most of us don't have much wealth.
That may be true.
I have stories, but
I can think back to high school.
Yeah.
Wealth being maybe not money, but position or reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When I, and I've shared this on other occasions to my shame, but I've asked for forgiveness. When I was more concerned about what my high school friends thought about me than being transparent about God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you always lose when you do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to pretend. It's kind of like trying to have, you know, it's like a split personality. We're not talking about stuff here, but maybe the intangible you know, yes. witness and character. Just, you know, it's painful. It's a painful place to be. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't result in the peace that a loving God wants for you.
Amen.
When you're trying to please these people rather than saying, God, I just want to please you.
Amen.
You show me what you want me to do. And it's true, I may lose some of my friends, right? Yeah. But God will give me other friends who really love him and are willing to love me too for who I am as his follower.
Amen.
So, but that was a struggle for me when I was in high school.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. I know I can relate to that too at different points in my life. And really, you know, it's so true. When we seek, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. When we seek God first, when he has first place in our hearts, when we trust him with our lives, with our everything we own, he will give us all that we need.
Yes. Amen.
And we can have peace. That's the happiest road.
Yeah.
That's the happiest you could be when you put Jesus first. Now, what would you counsel someone maybe watching today and they're struggling in their heart with their material possessions? What counsel would you give them as they're listening to this Sabbath school lesson today? Hmm. Stephanie?
I guess I would give them the counsel when things start to get blurry in my life and the cares of this world and the things that we have and the busyness, I like to go out and do some kind of outreach. Do something for someone else. Mm-hmm. Go on a mission trip. See how you can bless somebody. And I'll tell you what, it really puts things back into perspective. What is most important?
Amen. Amen. So go on a mission trip. Do something for someone else. Beautiful. Alex.
Yeah, well, material possessions, and most people tell you, I think it was mentioned earlier, they're only going to last for a little while. You know, people are never satisfied with getting with where they're at. They always want more, and they will always continue to want more. Satisfaction in Christ is permanent and fulfilling, and looking to Christ will give you something that won't leave you hanging, that won't leave you looking for something more.
Mm. And when we look to Jesus, Alex, and when we see the love that he poured out for us on the cross, when we see his life, how can we but give him all things? Yes. That's the only true motivation for real stewardship, for really choosing him over money. It's when we look at the love of Jesus for us. Yes. And when our hearts are broken by that love, that we're moved to give all we have for his cause. Amen?
And I think we can also tell, you know, I was smiling, I was thinking, don't go and say, you're a fool, you could die tonight. that's not very helpful.
Right.
But to go and say, God loves you right where you are.
Amen.
And he feels your struggle. And so I would just say, ask him to show you if any of this stuff is getting in the way of your relationship with him.
Yep.
And, you know, trust God to show them. You don't have to show them.
Amen.
Just say, ask him to show you. But just know on this journey that you're precious to him and he loves you.
Amen.
I think that's really important.
Amen. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to know how much he loves you. Yeah. And right now we're going to look at some verses. And this is just good for us to look and remember what Jesus has accomplished for us, because that is the motivation, the truest motivation for giving him all of our hearts and that we own, right?
That's right.
So let's look at some verses that just remind us of what God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. Probably one of the verses that's the most famous in the world, John 3:16. And Milena, can you read that very beautiful verse for us, John chapter 3 and verse 16?
I will be reading out of the New King James Version, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
God wants everyone to have life. Mm. It's like you said, Jesus looked at that rich young ruler with love. He looks at us, he looks at you with love, and he says, follow me. I gave my life for you. Thank you for reading that, Milena. Eric, can you read another verse for us from Romans chapter 5? Verses 6 to 8, talking about what God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus.
Yes, all right. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and I will be reading from the New International Version. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Mm. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen.
So, Eric, what does that verse, how does that speak to your heart as you read those words?
We do have to realize that, like, for me personally, I have to realize, like, there's all these things about me that's like, oh, I'm not the best person. I'm not the greatest person. I have these temptations and stuff. But God, the creator of everything, like, God, who is above all of us.
Amen.
He died for us, died for little old me, died for all of us here. And that's special to me.
Amen. Amen.
While we were yet sinners.
Yeah. Right.
While Christ still sinners.
Yeah. Died for us. Celine, another beautiful verse from Colossians chapter 1. Could you read that for us? Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
Sure. I will be reading from the New International Version. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins."
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful verse.
I love those words, Kyle. He's rescued us.
Rescued us.
It's not like I'm doing pretty well here and I'll do a little better there. It's like I'm on a course to destruction, you know, without peace and hope. And he's like, let me rescue you. I have a choice to make whether I'll let him.
Beautiful. How does an awareness of knowing what Jesus has accomplished for us help us keep God first in our hearts and our lives? Mm-hmm. When you read these verses, how does that help keep things in the right perspective?
I will say just that by reading them and really paying attention to it, not just skimming it, like sometimes in reading the Bible, we sometimes just skim, but when we really understand what's going on, that really what that Jesus has given everything for us, then how could we not want to give everything for him?
Amen.
Because he loves us so much.
Amen.
And that keeps us in focus, let's say, on what's most important.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Andre.
I mean, we're often drawn to people that we recognize have our best interest. And we realize not only did he create us, but that he redeemed us. I mean, why wouldn't you be drawn to that? And our children, you know, as well, you know, when people say children can tell when some, I don't know if this is true or not, but they say they can tell a good person, you know, children just seem to have that sense. I don't know if you all agree with that or not, but they know who's treating them right, the fairness, they know who's treating them right and who's treating them wrong. And I think when we read these scriptures, as was Austin said, when we read it, it draws us, it just draws us to him.
Amen. Amen.
Such a beautiful thing to think about, the love of God for us and how Jesus left all to come, to live and to die, to save us while we were yet sinners. He loves all of us.
Amen.
And you know, God is the owner of all things. And that's where this study concludes today, looking at some verses that remind us that God does truly own everything in this world. And we have nothing to fear. We have no need to fear a lack of anything because he is the owner and provider of all. Jason, can you read Psalm 24, verse 1 for us, just reminding us that God owns everything in this world?
We'll be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world, and all those who dwell therein."
So the earth belongs to who?
God.
And all of us belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Another one of my favorite verses is found in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 10. And sometimes you'll hear this when people are talking about, you know, how God can provide for needs. And it's true because God is the owner of all. So who would like to read for us Psalm 50 verse 10? Is anybody there? Alex, can you read that for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Psalms 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
Amen. Every beast of the forest, everything belongs to him. And finally, let's conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. So not only is the world God's and all that's made therein, we ourselves are God's. And that perhaps is the most beautiful picture of all. Nicole, could you read that for us as we conclude this morning?
1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. The New International Version says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Amen. So as we've looked at the lesson today, we've seen that God truly is the owner of all. He created us. He redeemed us. And Jesus wants us to choose him before anything on this earth. You know, the rich men in those stories that we looked at, you know, the one who had the barn and the rich young ruler, they were struggling to give their whole heart to God. Mm-hmm. God says to you and I today, give your heart to me. Yes. I love you. I gave my life to save you. I know what's best for you. And I want to give you a more abundant life.
Amen.
That's what God wants for each one of us. And that's what God wants for you. Today, you may be struggling. You may feel like God doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you today, friend, God loves you with all of his heart. He gave the very best of heaven to save you. He emptied out the riches of his grace just so you could have an eternal home. Mm-hmm. And it is our prayer that you would also make that decision to give your life to him, mm-hmm. because that's what he wants. He wants your heart, and he wants to give you the very best of heaven and a hope filled with joy, love, and happiness.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better. That's the greatest hope that we all have, to be with Jesus for eternity. So may God bless us all and continue to keep us close to him, and to keep, may we keep him first in our hearts.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Carl. What a great study. And I'm so glad that you were with us for the study today. Don't let Satan fool you. First of all, don't make God money, or don't try to make money and God both masters of your life. Only God deserves first place. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And why? Because he loves you. He's your creator, your redeemer. But also he wants to bless you. He wants the blessing to flow through you to bless those around you. I'm just so challenged by this study today. And I pray that wherever you are around the world, there would be a circle of blessing. Like Andre, you talked about that circle of blessing around you, because you put God first in your life. Let's pray that can happen as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that the Bible is so practical. We've learned from your word today that you alone deserve first place, not just because you're God, but because that's how life will work for us, how we'll find joy and peace and eternal rest with you. Oh God, I pray for each one here. May we make that decision, not just today, but every day, to say, Lord, be first. Amen. And through us, may your blessings flow, a circle of blessing to those around us, Amen. We pray. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us. You know, isn't it amazing how relevant the Bible is for our lives today? I just want to encourage you to keep studying the Word of God. And get a group together. If you've got some friends, say, let's join and study Hope Sabbath School together. And as you receive life-changing word from God, go out and share that word. Make a difference to the lives of those around you.